you know, we manage north of $1 billion for clients. And, you know, when things get rough, you know, the advisor in me, you know, worries for my clients because I know they get concerned and they get upset. But for me as an entrepreneur and a real estate investor, I get excited to take advantage of some of those opportunities that are out there. And I think there are going to be a ton of opportunities over the next 18 or 24 months for the groups that are well positioned, that are well capitalized, and you know, have, you know, the iron gut to take chances and you know, pursue some of the opportunities that are out there.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Frank B. Hanna Jr. is a leading specialist in estate and tax planning. He also specializes in private real estate investment and wealth management for a select group of individuals, executives, and privately held business owners. Frank, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
Absolutely. The pleasure is mine, Frank. There are three questions I ask every guest who comes on the show. In 90 seconds or less, can you tell me, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
I started in the hotel restaurant business, did that for a number of years, managing family-owned businesses. My family-owned businesses, did that for, you know, 15, 20 years, and got out of that and was doing a little bit of, you know, single family home construction, house flipping type stuff, and then diversified into some other sectors of real estate. And, you know, wasn't in love with the restaurant business, ultimately had a lot of good relationships from that, and had an interest in real estate, and basically packaged that into a kind of hybrid financial planning consulting business with a real estate arm. And I currently live outside of Philadelphia. My partner and I have been working together for about 15 years. We started Revolution X years ago. We rebranded recently, and you know, we've got a nice footprint, you know, probably on East Coast primarily, but we do business across the United States.
Wow, that's a lot of moving pieces there. You 15 or 20 years in the family business, and how did you? I mean, it sounds like a strategic shift when you got out of family business and said, okay, we're going to go into wealth advising, planning, all those things. Like what was the evolution of that?
Yeah.
'Cause I'm sure there's a lot there that I just.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a great question. So yeah, quick turn there. So it's funny. My, I had had a little bit of background in real estate, through my family. So my father had done restaurants for years, and he had kind of taken some of his successes and wealth from that to get into real estate. So I learned a lot through him and through some of our relationships there. My partner was actually doing like high level financial planning for some recognized individuals where I was living down near Ocean City, Maryland. And he actually was calling upon my father to try to do some financial planning. So we connected. My dad actually pawned him off on me, and we got talking and started brainstorming and said, hey, you know what? He's got a lot of good tools in his toolbox on the financial planning side of things. And I think he can help us and help some other people. And I had a good background on, you know, business management, tax planning, you know, real estate. And we said, hey, look, let's kind of package what we're both good at and see if we can capture some market share and focus on a certain type of client. And we started from there, and, you know, from the ground up, it was a tough fight, but we're rolling pretty good now.
Wow. Okay. I mean, and this is one of the things I think that we've seen in the real estate world is that there's people who are like, you know, I'm only real estate. That's it. They're only going to invest in real estate. And then you have people that are, you know, the typical stock and bond brokers, financial planners, that's all they know. And the two seem to not very often intersect. Where you find somebody that understands business, that understands real estate, that understands traditional kind of investing channels. Is this kind of what you've done, is being able to blend all of those?
Yeah, I think so. You're right. So you have your, you know, typically most of your high net worth clients, or our high net worth clients, have some wealth in real estate. Maybe they're doing that on their own. But yeah, you're right. Some people just love the thrill of kind of that real estate deal, and they put every last dollar into that segment, and sometimes don't get you know, many dollars over to your more traditional investments. And then you have the other people that, you know, save into their, you know, 401ks or the brokerage accounts. And that's how they kind of grew up and were taught that way. And ultimately those people, you know, never really, you know, transcend into the real estate space because they don't really know where to start. So what we've done is taken some of those more sophisticated real estate deals and packaged them in a way where they are securitized and people can invest and get access to some of those deals. And yeah, we've kind of bridged that gap where you can have the best of both worlds. And most of our clients, you know, will typically, you know, dabble in both spaces.
Walk us through that. Like, how are you packaging those up and presenting those to your clients? I know that there's a lot of times there's just from the brokers I've spoken to and the financial planners, they say, look, you know, we can't do this because their hands are typically tied, especially by the bigger shops that they work with. They just can't simply touch that sort of thing. So how are you guys doing that?
So we really like, so in the financial advisory space, you have to, you know, hang your flag with a broker dealer, right? So everybody has to have a broker dealer that, you know, supports you, make sure you guys are doing things the right way. And yeah, some of those bigger broker dealers, they're just, you know, like they're the massive ship moving in the night. They don't typically want to invest the resources for all those different advisors. And some of those type of alternative products can be somewhat sophisticated. So we moved away from there. We used to be with a big, large broker dealer that was not favorable. They didn't want to do anything that was out of the, you know, quote unquote vanilla or the norm. And now we work with a broker dealer that their sweet spot is in the alternative space. They focus on a high-end advisor, you know, high net worth clients, and they give us access to some of the best stuff that's out there. So between us and them, we basically vetted the marketplace across, you know, the continental US and basically found some of the biggest players that had the most sophisticated offerings in, you know, their kind of sweet spot or asset class. And they do real estate syndicated deals, and some are designed for people that have cash on the sidelines and they just want to diversify or get away from, you know, some of the volatility in the stock or bond market. We have a lot of other deals that qualify for like 1031 exchange planning. So people will sell their hard real estate and they can't find a replacement property. They don't know where to go next, or maybe they're just over the headache of, you know, property management. So there's a solution there that a lot of people take advantage of through us. And then we have a lot of deals where we do, you know, cost segregation studies. So people that either have a large, you know, passive income, or maybe they qualify as a real estate professional, they'll invest in our deals, you know, not only for cash flow, but primarily for that accelerated depreciation to, you know, offset some of their federal and state income taxes.
What I see a lot of, and I would put myself in this category as the deal sponsor. Like there are the people like us who are the deal sponsors. I know the deals we do. Yep. And that's kind of where my expertise stops. But for you, you'd kind of have to take a holistic approach to people who are, you know, for me, it's like, okay, hey, you know what, Frank, you're a accredited investor and you got $100,000 you want to invest. Okay, come on. Yep. Not a high hurdle. But for you, it sounds like there's a certain client type that mm-hmm. really is looking for what you do. Who would you say is your kind of ideal client?
I would say, you know, I kind of look at it two ways. So we're really attractive for like the younger entrepreneur that maybe is, you know, a relatively high income, you know, I'd say, you know, six figures and up a year, that is looking to enter the market and they just don't know where to start. Right. So we can, you know, assuming they qualify as accredited investor and have some assets elsewhere, we get a lot of people that are maybe 30, 40 years old that are just entering the market and they want to get their toes wet, and they'll get into one or more of our deals. And it typically goes from there. So that type of client. Then we have some, you know, ultra high net worth clients that have all type of planning needs that are maybe, you know, in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and they're looking to kind of simplify their life or maybe get some of their financial freedom back. And they've started to divest of some of the holdings that they've had over time. And, you know, they're obviously tax focused, but we get a lot of those type of clients that say, hey, you know what? I've had a ton of success, but I don't feel like managing, you know, dozens and dozens of properties anymore. I'd like to sell, but I don't want to get whacked with, you know, massive cap gains taxes. What can I do? So we educate those type of clients on, hey, you can, you know, sell that real estate, you know, do 1031 exchange planning. And if you don't want to go out and buy another hard piece of real estate that you want to manage, you can use, you know, a technique or a solution. We typically use like a Delaware statutory trust, and it qualifies for the 1031 exchange. So we get a lot of clients that are selling real estate and using our solutions to execute a 1031 exchange.
What, and I think you've just mentioned one of those creative solutions, but what are some of the, maybe you can give more detail on that if it's relevant, but some of the creative solutions you guys feel like you've crafted maybe that are kind of lacking in the marketplace?
So I think, you know, I'll just start on that Delaware statutory trust. So that's nothing new, but for whatever reason, a lot of people are unaware that it's out there as an alternative to a traditional 1031 exchange. Or, you know, there's misunderstandings of how they operate. You know, really has nothing to do with Delaware, but essentially we take a lot of our deals and I'll use the Delaware statutory trust tax wrapper just for those 1031 exchange dollars and those people that need. So the Delaware statutory trust is a trust where you can, you know, utilize, sell your hard piece of real estate and do a complete tax deferred exchange into one or more offerings, and get a tax favored monthly income. We do a lot of deals in a variety of different asset classes, you know, multifamily, self storage, industrial, student housing, you know, everything under the sun. We're focused in, you know, markets that are, you know, high growth. They have a good story behind them. They're pro business, tax favored. And, you can, you know, again, relinquish the property management responsibilities and go into our deals. And, you know, the length of our deals are typically, I don't know, 3 to 6, 4 to 7 years hold. And again, when those deals sell, you can do another 1031 exchange on the back end as well.
No, I love that. That's and that's one step more sophisticated, I would imagine, than just a straight 1031.
Say you go through the same process as the 1031 exchange. So you're going to have you have to hire a qualified intermediary to be your like third party unaffiliated individual that would be the middleman in the terms of a 1031 exchange. And then, you know, when you typically would follow that guideline of 45 days to identify and a total of 180 days needed to purchase that new replacement property, our deals are already pre-packaged. They're approved. They're ready to go. At any given time, we probably have 15 different Delaware statutory trust programs that are available. And you can list them right on your ID sheet and invest those dollars. There's no closing costs. We can settle in 3 to 5 days. So, you know, it's a little bit of a sophisticated product, but it's, once you understand it, it's super easy. I'd argue it's easier than, you know, negotiating and, you know, settling on a hard piece of real estate. So we can move quickly. We always have inventory, some really attractive deals. So that, I'd say that's a huge part of our business. I'd say that was maybe 5 or 10% of our business. 5, 6 years ago, it was probably 50% of our business this year.
Wow. No, that sounds really powerful because people are looking for those types of things where one, they can push the easy button. Like, okay, you got 15 DST programs that you can pick from. That's pretty impressive because then it's like, well, it's just a menu. Which one do I like? And then you're not responsible for it once you do that.
Yep.
I mean, that's pretty powerful. I guess I got this just to probably get into the weeds here a little bit. And so if it's too far in the weeds, tell me to just stop and we'll delete this part of it. But it's in those DST programs you guys have, you guys are then going out and working with operators, deal sponsors, people that are actually boots on the ground doing, you know, the deals themselves, unless you guys are running all of these yourselves, which I would be thoroughly.
So we have several layers of due diligence. So we understand the deals. So we have, you know, a number of partners that we've got some sort of track record with, but we don't rubber stamp, you know, any deal just because of who's bringing it to the table. So we typically, you know, get word either that, hey, this is coming to market, or they're thinking about putting this deal together. And then we have our team do a very thorough analysis of the program. We visit the property, do, you know, every type of study imaginable, and look at the financials and say, hey, this is a deal that we think has a high probability of success. We're going to approve it and put it on our platform. Or we'll look at that deal and say, hey, it's not for us, and we're not going to approve it. But, you know, we invest in almost all our own deals. So if it gets to our platform, we feel really good about it. And then we can offer it to the market or relationships that we have that maybe have that 1031 exchange need. But it's nice. We can kind of layer that out, diversify the client, and, you know, it almost acts like a laddered bond portfolio where, you know, if you had $1 million deal and you invested in, you know, 3 or 4 DSTs, you know, once we get out to year 3, it's rare that, you know, we're not calling you once a year and saying, hey, Sam, good news. One of your deals is going full cycle and you have to make another choice. Are you going to cash out, pay your taxes, do another DST with us or somebody else? Or you can actually go back into hard real estate. And there's typically, you know, a nice income, some degree of appreciation, but it's flexible. So we have a lot of people that are using us now, maybe because of the, you know, rough lending environment and low inventory and deals are hard to come by, and you know, all the factors that are headwinds right now for us. People are still selling real estate, you know, where they say, hey, I can capture a premium. I definitely don't want to pay the taxes, but I don't want to just buy something else that I have to manage that's not as attractive as the property I'm selling, and I don't want to pay top dollar for that. What can I do? Well, you could park it in a DST with us for a handful of years, let the market, you know, reset, and then go back into hard real estate, you know, in some time.
That makes a lot of sense. And I was going to ask that question when it comes to, in order to keep 15 different DST programs that you have maybe open, you got to keep your pipeline full of opportunity inside of those. If those are single asset syndications, I mean, those are typically time bound. So it seems like you'd have a lot of deals coming in and out. And I was going to just ask, how do you keep track of that? You know, if there's that many, you know, deals all at once.
Programs. So we've got, you know, again, we're not doing everything ourselves. Sure. So those sponsor companies that we're working with, you know, they do the day-to-day management opportunity or responsibilities. And then our broker dealer, you know, has another layer of responsibility on that too. And then we have a team of, you know, a couple dozen people that focus on all these deals. And, you know, we have our kind of expected timeline, and then, you know, that can change with different circumstances. But yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot of moving parts to it, but we've got that kind of sweet spot or size that I think enables us to be really proficient with, you know, with the type of clients we have. We're not, you know, we kind of stay right in that space where we feel like, hey, we've got good inventory, we've got good deals. We don't have, you know, too little where we can't meet the need, but we're not approving, you know, much more than that just because there's not a need there. So we feel good about our business model and the support and the partners that we have to help manage that. But it can change over time. I'd say 15s around what we typically have. Some of them can be a handful of assets. Some of them are single assets, but all depends.
Got it. Very, very good. I want to shift gears here just slightly. When you're talking to your ultra high net worth investors, what is your kind of subjective opinion of how their view and market sentiment, I guess you will, how they view the market? How has that changed in the last 12 to 18 months? And I guess if you can just give us that insight, that would be helpful.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, it's a blend. You know, I have some clients that say, hey, you know what, this is as bad as I've seen it, you know, whether it's the economy or whether it's, you know, just what's going on with, you know, federal circumstances. And then I have others that say, you know what, I've been through four or five crashes and market corrections and the worst of the worst, and I've survived every one of them. So I'm ready, and I'm going to take advantage of the opportunities that present themselves, assuming, you know, things get worse before they get better. So it's funny, because I you get totally different sentiments on that. But I think we are in uncharted territory with what's going on in the world, and you know.
Yeah, who actually knows? Has there been any strategic shift in the way investors invest?
I don't think so. I think again, the ultra conservative and the doomsdayers and the clients like that I have stay that way, and I don't try to change their mind. But there are those people that are out there, and then there's the others that, hey, they just keep operating, you know, assuming there's going to be a tomorrow, and they've had success. And, you know, it's funny, because, you know, we manage north of $1 billion for clients, and, you know, when things get rough, you know, the advisor in me, you know, worries for my clients, because I know they get concerned and they get upset. But for me as an entrepreneur and a real estate investor, I get excited to take advantage of some of those opportunities that are out there. And I think there are going to be a ton of opportunities over the next 18 or 24 months for the groups that are well positioned, that are well capitalized, and you know, have, you know, the iron gut to take chances and you know, pursue some of the opportunities that are out there. So yeah, two sides of it, I look at it that way. But I do think there's going to be a lot of really good opportunities that are going to come available soon.
Yeah, would you base that that feeling just upon the amount of debt that's maturing?
Yeah, I think, yeah, the debt situation, there's just substantial amount of debt that's all maturing in the next couple of years, and you've got banks that don't want to lend on a variety of different asset classes. So I think, again, the people that are well positioned, that are well capitalized, are going to be able to really, you know, swing the bat and get well positioned on a lot of those deals. And we have like a lending arm too. Mm-hmm. So we're in position where, you know, if we feel like the collateral is good, we can make a really nice spread on those loans and play, you know, more defensive position. So we're not always, you know, on the equity side of things.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. And I think there's some other people out there with that kind of same idea, where it's like, hey, you know what, if we can come in, you know, with some rescue capital, take some things over, you know, at a discount to market, then, like you said, you just got to be ready for that. So yeah, very cool. Yeah. Frank, I have thoroughly enjoyed our conversation today. I love what you guys are doing. I love your kind of unique approach to tying real estate and investments and tax strategy. I think you guys run a very unique shop there. It's just something we don't see a lot of. So I appreciate what you guys do. Yeah.
Thank you, son.
Certainly learned a lot from you here today. If our listeners want to get in touch with you and learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
I would check out our website, revxwealth.com. So revxwealth.com. You can inquire, contact, all our contact information is on there. If you want to get a hold of us, ask a question. That RevX Wealth is all over social media too. If you want to search, follow us. There's a lot of good content out there that we put out, from, you know, the ultra sophisticated maneuvers to just really good basics to follow. But yeah, happy to talk to anybody that's out there, answer questions, confident you get value out of a brief conversation with us.
Awesome. Frank, thank you again for the time today. I certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Sam.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.